The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant, happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Feel good Friday, is it really? TGIF, thank God it's Friday, or the government is, substitute your own F-bomb. We talk about that in all honesty here on the show because things are just not right. They are really, they want to take away our gas stoves and they want to give us fake meat. They want you to eat the bugs. You must eat the bugs. You must comply and eat the bugs. Yeah, there's only so many bugs to go around. They're killing off half of them. So, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to artificially produce bugs? I mean, how's that going to work? I know we're going to continue our conversation this hour with Elza Van Hamelen. She is here talking about pharma food because she's got a strong sense of idealism, started a career in sustainability, was convinced that business has a pivotal role in the transition to sustainability to that end. However, in practice, sustainability is maturing into a whole business segment, which, of course, applies to standardized methods and it's being promoted through slick marketing. And see, I don't think it's working. People are not buying fake meat and fake stuff. I mean, they're starting to read the labels. You know, you call something sustainable, it's like you call something organic and everybody's willing to pay 50% more for something that is really no different than the stuff they could pay regular price for from something that's not organic. But, you know, we've all been conditioned, this mindset we've got. You know, these are, you know, what we try to trace through human rights improvements, reduction in environmental pollution, you know, all these things that we already know damn well is all part of a bigger agenda out there. Elza Van Hamelen, welcome to the show. We appreciate your being on with us because hopefully you're going to bring some light to the situation.
Well, I hope so. Thank you for inviting me, Dave.
So fake meat, we're including articles about all this, and you have a video out called Dig It, number 178, on pharma food. So first off, I guess we're talking about the fake stuff that Bill Gates and everybody is pushing these days and the World Economic Forum. No doubt you're plugged into that and you understand what this is all about and where they're headed with this, social engineering and everything else.
Exactly, yes. So this pharma food report was a report that I've written for the Solari report. That is the platform of Catherine Austin Fitz. And she asked me to do a deep dive into this, and then specifically the fake meat. But while researching that, I found all these other types of synthetic foods. So this includes the insects. This includes precision fermentation. We can talk about that too. A lot of investments in what they call food tech. So these are a lot of developments that apply technology to food production, but basically bring food production into like close perimeters, behind fences, so that you can stay at home and everything can be delivered at your door. But food is no longer grown outside in the fields by farmers. So it's a pretty big report, about 50 pages long, but it documents this massive shift from farming and food production as we've known it in the last thousands of years into a very highly technocratic transhumanist system. And there are a lot of areas that are pushing towards this. This is funded by venture capital, but governments on national but also the international level, like the UN, are pushing this through policy. And investors are shifting their portfolios through like ESG ratings and then disencouraging investments in real food and encouraging investments in these food tech developments. So lab cultured meat, precision fermented like milk without cows production, GMO foods, insects and vertical farms.
Wow, this is pretty scary stuff. I mean, what do you think? This morning, my first headline was about the Dutch elections, seeing the tractor protest party, the Farmer Citizen Movement, or the BBB, trouncing the globalist government and the EU green agenda. I mean, that's good news for the Dutch, is it not?
Not really. Probably, yeah, yes and no. So it kind of signals that there is opposition against the sitting cabinets. But this farmers party came out of nowhere, and the farmers believe that this woman Caroline van der Plas is going to save them. But whenever she gets grilled on real questions about why our government is collaborating with the World Economic Forum, what she thinks about the energy policies, like any policy that really matters, she dodges the question. Ooh. And if you look at her voting pattern, she's fully on board with the whole agenda that our current government supports.
So this is like she is like a, trying to she's placating all these people that put their faith in her. This is Fox Garden, the hen house.
Yes. So we'll have to see how this goes. But I don't expect a real change from her and her party.
Wow, that's depressing. Boy, I tell you what, I thought we had the luck of the Irish on our side today, but apparently not. Wow. You know, I'm glad. See, this is why I asked, because I love your accent, and I get it that, you know, you're boots on the ground. And that's what I love about this show, is that we have people on here that are boots on the ground, that you say that you have deep dived into this stuff. And you see, Catherine Austin Fitz, everybody knows about her, and mm-hmm. they've seen her, and they're aware of what she stands for, what she's doing. The thing is this biosecurity agenda, 2030, this worldwide social engineering, what China is talking about now as far as global governance, the nation state, according to Patrick Wood, becoming an empty shell. You know, all of these things you're very much aware of. And as far as, folks, your questions, and I know you got some, you're going to go to the grocery store, you're going to go shopping pretty soon, and all of a sudden you're going to start seeing things disappearing off the store shelves that you're normally accustomed to buying on a regular basis. This is how I foresee this beginning. I mean, it's starting to. Right now, they have to introduce the foods they want into the marketplace, which my understanding is now they're not doing very well because people are becoming wise to it. But there are still people out there that are dumbed down, that don't get it, and they're actually buying into this stuff. Is it not true?
Definitely. But with regard to the lab-cultured meat, only one type is approved and sold in Singapore. And the FDA has partially approved one type for the U.S., but it's not on the market yet because it's co-regulated with USDA, I believe. So they need to get approval for the production process. So only in Singapore you can get this. And if you really want to eat it, you can have a tasting at some like lab culture meat plant, but you have to sign basically an informed consent form that they don't know what the health risks will be of eating this stuff. But what is already on the market, I mentioned precision fermentation, and perhaps that requires some explanation. So what they do is they genetically manipulate microbes, bacteria, and for example, traditionally we use fermented products such as we use bacteria to turn sugars into alcohol, and that will become wine. But what they do with precision fermentation is that they insert foreign genes into bacteria, and then these bacteria will start to produce milk or butter or stevia or fertilizer. And already billions have been invested in this, and these products are already on the market, and they're not even labeled as GMOs because they say, well, the end product is identical to milk, so it's real milk, but it's milk without cows. But they don't tell you that this is produced by genetically manipulated E. coli bacteria.
Oh, this is scary stuff. Sherry in Kansas, I knew you were going to call up this morning when we had Els on. As soon as she started talking about this, I go, oh, what? Sherry's going to call. Go for it. You're on the phone with Elsa. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. I heard someone say the other day
that, and I wasn't taping, and but they said that they're already adding like insect powders and as protein, you know, to enhance the protein value of what they can say the protein in it. But they're using like names you would not recognize. I don't know if it's like the scientific name of the species it comes from, but do you have anything in this report about that?
Not in detail, but in the U.S., I believe the insects are approved as under like what they call GRAS, generally recognized as safe. So they will need to apply a dossier. Is it to the FDA or USDA? And they will approve it. And then it's allowed on the market, and I assume that usually they will use the Latin name. But it becomes very important to read the ingredient list for what is in your food, because on the one hand there's the insects, but there are also a lot of bioengineered foods, and also this is not always labeled. There are a lot of exemptions from needing to label GMOs as, you're not even allowed to label it as GMO, it is bioengineered, but then if, for example, a product is so processed that you cannot recognize the GMOs in it anymore, or it's precision fermented, then you don't even need to use the label. But for me, after doing all this study, I became so appalled, basically, about what they're trying to do to our food, that I really believe that what we need is a boycott big agriculture movement. Try to source as much of your food as you can directly from farmers, or perhaps through intermediaries that you can trust that buy it directly from farmers, because as soon as it comes from these big corporations, I will be very hesitant about what they're doing to our food.
Well, here's something else that gets me too, Sherry. I'm going to jump in here real quick. A while ago, I talked to people about this long-term shelf life food, and that some of these companies out there that put their ingredients on the labels, and you can actually read on their websites what you're buying, it has the term bioengineered on that document. And it's like, I did not even realize at that point in time when I was stocking up in food what we were possibly looking at here that Elsa's bringing up. My biggest concern is the graphene oxide, the mRNA, and all the other garbage that they've infected us with this jab that people have been taking and now having adverse reactions from. Go ahead, Sherry.
I heard that, and it was one of these people that really look into it, that even in the organic, something that's labeled organic can have CRISPR technology, because that is not considered GMO.
Yes, I can speak to that. So that's called gene editing. So with traditional GMOs, they would insert foreign genes into a plant, like an animal gene into a plant. That's called transgenic, and that's a traditional GMO. And what they say is with CRISPR technology is one of several gene editing technologies, and what they do is that they make a precise cuts into the existing DNA of a plant. And what the agricultural lobby then says is, well, theoretically, these changes could have also occurred in nature, so basically we can regard this as a natural change. What they don't say is that even though they make a precise cut, the effects of these cuts are extremely unpredictable, and they create a lot of unpredictable side effects that they call off-target results. But in the EU, so in the US, this is hardly regulated, and in the EU, there's a big push to deregulate all these gene editing techniques and also allow them on the market as organic, because they say basically this is as similar to natural products, but they still are allowed to have the patents and the ownership of the seeds. So it comes along with the whole GMO business model.
Yeah, that's why we sell. Yeah, I appreciate it, too. That's a great question, Sherry. The thing is, too, is that we also sell White Harvest seeds and Heaven's Harvest seeds, knowing that they are not GMO, that they are, you know, basically, you know, all the good stuff. That's the easiest way to put it so that people understand it. We are encouraging people, Elsa, on this show to grow their own food. And because then you know what you're getting. And we appreciate that. Carolyn in Washington, you're on the phone with Elsa Van Hamlen. Go ahead.
Hi, Elsa. Thank you. You kind of answered the question I had on the reliability of the certified organic. Can you trust that and pay just about twice as much for food, or is it kind of a farce?
Well, officially, like according to the standards, GMOs are also in the U.S. are not allowed under the organic label. But in my experience in the Netherlands is that the organic label has become a business model.
Right.
So not everything that's organic has as high quality as you expect. So my strategy personally is to go to the farmers in my neighborhood, and I think that will be difficult if you're living in a very big city. But yeah, if you have the opportunity, just speak to your farmer, because here in the Netherlands, there are also a lot of farmers that do not have the organic label, but they care about what they do to the land and how they deal with their animals. So yeah, speak to your farmer and understand what they're doing to their food. That's in my opinion, the safest way to make sure what goes into your food.
Well, I saw YouTube about a year ago showing these farmers markets that people were selling the farmer product for about twice as high as the stores because it's supposed to be organic. But this person followed people that were setting up their stations, and the night before they would go to the regular produce places, buy it, and then pretend it was organic from their farm. It's not always trustworthy. And then about eggs, I have chickens, and I've studied about this, and when I have to buy eggs, like I did when we had that egg business going on this winter, no laying eggs, chickens. I always reach for the ones that say organic before I reach for the pasture-raised, because pasture-raised, they can have 2 square feet and call it, you know, of outdoor pasture-raised, whereas organic, I assume they're feeding them organic food. Is that smart or not?
I'm not that familiar with the content of the standard, because in the Netherlands, pasture-raised, the chickens are really walking outside. But with organic, in principle, you are ensured that they're not being fed GMOs, they're not getting all these medication and hormones. So so the best is to source them from a place where you know how the farmer deals with their chickens.
Right.
I know
For people's information, to check on a lot of this, go to Cornucopia, and they list all the people that raise chickens, and they've sent drones over their farms and shown that the ones that say they're pasture-raised, there's not a chicken in sight, they're all inside. And it goes on and on, all the false stuff. But I thank you very much.
Well, Carolyn, I made a note of Cornucopia, but you know what, Carolyn, you are not the first person that I know of that has suspected that what's happening with these farmers markets is that they would go to the grocery store and buy all the stuff in bulk, like the Sam's Club and Costco and places like that,
right,
and then turn around
right.
and come out there and pander it off as being, you know, farm raised when in
grew,
fact they
right.
know. Yeah, exactly. They didn't grow it. So you're right. It does help to know what farmers you're dealing with, but better off if there's any way. And I mean, this is why we've had Marjorie Wildcraft on the show. If there's any way that you can grow your own food, have a greenhouse, have raised bed gardening, culture this stuff yourself, like what we're trying to do here. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, I have to practice what I preach. I can't just sit here and tell everybody else to go do it and then me not. You know, and so, you know, we're seeing the results of what we're doing now. And it's coming to the point in time where, you know, we had Mike Knock on yesterday talking about having White Harvest Seeds. We've had Heaven's Harvest reps on the program before. You know, when you're looking at stuff like this, and we have the opportunity for people to learn how to do this so they don't have to walk around suspicious of everybody else that's trying to go out and pander these products on their own. I'm more concerned, you know, frankly, about the soil, the condition of the soil, what they're doing to poison the soil. I mean, that's been, you know, my take from the get-go, and whether or not the stuff, you know, and that I'm understanding now from talking to people that the soil has a way, and the plants have a way of rejecting certain byproducts that are going on that you're introducing into the soil, like what's in your water. If your water's bad, they will take what nutrients they need out of the water, and the rest of it they'll just discard. So I appreciate your chiming in on that. I'm glad you brought up that subject matter. We appreciate that. Kevin in Ohio, you're on the phone with Elsa Van Hamlen. Go ahead.
Good morning. Good conversation. I've been buying organic for over 20 years, and I live in the area in southeast Ohio. It's surrounded. I'm just surrounded by old order Amish, and roughly 10 years ago, they started going into a little co-op of their own and growing organic, and all of them were doing great, all kinds of organic going on here. And then as of about year before last, they all started dropping out of organic. They just quit because they wouldn't put up with the regulations anymore. Although they still grow, they're growing their food the same way. They refuse to have these, what they call jerks, coming on their property anytime they want to go over and do certifications and set them up to appointments and things. And so it just all fizzled. They just grow it themselves the right way, and I trust them. So.
Exactly. I think that's the best way.
Let me ask you something, Kevin. Have they at all attempted to, I hate to use this word, go underground with all of this? I mean, obviously, they drew the attention of the FDA and other people in the agriculture departments, I mean, around the state. I mean, they obviously drew attention to it. These people were looking to pick a fight. Obviously, the Amish have, as I brought up yesterday, have learned to live without electricity, and they grow stuff from the earth, and they have a very strong sense of community. I've driven by Mennonite farms in southeast Pennsylvania and seen greenhouse after greenhouse of this co-op stuff you talk about. But see, then when the government sees it, sticks out like a sore thumb, word gets around, and then next thing you know, somebody's up there ratting out. You know, these people, and that draws ire from the government, so.
Yeah, what they did, they just stopped the word organic, totally. They just say, we're not dealing with that anymore. We grew up the same, and I trust them, because they're all old order Amish, you know, they're real horse and buggy guys.
No, I get what you're saying. I appreciate that, and this is one of the reasons why I extol the virtues of the Amish, because of the fact that they are down-to-earth, God-fearing people that believe in growing your own and being self-sustainable. This is the most important thing right now. I can't emphasize that anymore, and I appreciate your input on this. Elsa, what do you think about this conversation so far?
Oh, it's a great conversation. And you know what? I would choose the Amish food over an organic label, because this organic label is kind of like a corporate system, and it will always have holes. And the Amish, they're people that live by their values. And you know that they're applying their values also in the way they grow their food. So I think that will be way more trustworthy. But yeah, you really have to look at what your personal situation is. And with regard to the fresh food, what I was thinking also, I know somebody in the region where I live, and he is very passionate about, like, real healthy organic food. So not it doesn't need to be the labeling, but just the healthy food. And he made contact with all these farms. He knows all these farmers. And people can order food with him, and he delivers it on Friday. And you know he is an ethical guy. He checks out his farmers. So I know, like, 99% sure that he will never buy food from a supermarket to sell to the people as organic. So that may be a business model, too. It really, we have to get back to personal relations and knowing who you can trust.
Well, that's been a big thing because, see, I don't know about in where you are, but I do know that the Dutch farmers are very, very upset with what their government is trying to do to them. Many people, I don't know how limited they are because obviously we're not there. We're sitting on the other end of a microphone listening to boots on the ground reports like yours, and we're trying to make this decision as to, you know, well, look at this is what's happening in other countries, and it's headed in this direction. Oh, my God, we have that moment, you know, where reality sinks in. We have to start doing something to protect and defend. We have become so cynical over here and suspicious of other people. And when you get comments like what you're hearing from Kevin and Carolyn in Washington about people going out and buying bulk food from the grocery store and reselling it themselves as organic, I mean, that's, yeah, it's despicable. It's despicable in my book. It's no wonder people don't trust half these folks. And you're right about the fact that people need to start vetting farmers. I mean, that is sad that we have to come to that point in life where we have to start vetting people. People, we need to start picking up. And pick up by the bootstraps and start doing the right thing and growing her own food. There's just no other way around this if you want to survive. Tim in Michigan, you're on the phone with Elsa Van Hamlen. Go ahead.
My question for her is what do you think the war in the Ukraine is really about? Is it really about destroying the largest organic non-GMO food supply in the world?
I think that war doesn't have one goal. It has multiple goals. So it's the culmination of a renewed Cold War effort that turned hot right now. So it's a confrontation between the U.S. and Russia playing out over Ukrainian soil. The food it plays a big role, but there's also a big technocratic agenda in the Ukraine. And, of course, there was a lot of Russian gas being delivered through Ukraine to Europe. And the U.S. has put a lot of diplomatic effort into that they didn't want this cheap gas for Europe. And Europe, they didn't want to listen to the U.S., but as soon as this war started, basically the gas stopped. But it puts a lot of European businesses in very big trouble because you don't only have the inflation, but you also have increased energy costs. So in some ways, this war is also an indirect war against Europe. There's an economist, Michael Hudson, and I think within a week after this the attack, so over a year ago, he said, well, the U.S. is defeating Germany for the third time in a century.
Wow. Makes sense. Makes sense. All the sense in the world. And see, not only that, but I mean, we had reports earlier about half of the there's a large grocery chain in Germany that has closed half of its stores. You're aware of that, Elsa?
No, I didn't hear about that, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and you're right about the fact that energy costs has literally killed their economy. And this is something that's happening all over Europe right now. And the people are finally starting to understand that they're having riots and parrots over it. You know, and now we have this other thing. They're trying, like everything else, they're not up to speed with this fake meat production. They are still years behind the curve, just like their sustainable energy program. Ladies and gentlemen, we're at the break right now. We're going to come back. We're going to keep Elsa on the phone. We appreciate you staying with us. We're going to take more of your calls after these messages at the bottom of the hour here on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. God bless you. Stay with us on the show. We got more information for you. We'll be right back.
Providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being mean so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. Shop thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
And you are, my friend. Welcome back. This is the Power Hour. Knowledge is power, folks. And if you don't have it, you're destroyed. Says it right there in the good book, right at Hosea 4:6. Of course, now, you know, that's paraphrasing and taking, you know, stuff that maybe out of context or not to you, depending on, you know, we've had arguments about, well, which word are you reading here? No, it's the Bible. Whichever way you translate it, it does not come back false if it's from God. Understand that first out of the gate. 33 minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time, Friday, St. Patrick's Day, 2023. Appreciate you joining us. We've got some big issues here because apparently it's generated a lot of telephone traffic this morning. And we appreciate that because obviously people are concerned. The number is 844-769-2944. And we appreciate your calls. I know you got legitimate questions. You want to know. You've been doing deep diving research, much like Elsa Van Hamlen, our guest, has been doing. You know, she basically had a relationship with Catherine Austin Fitz, still does. Did some deep dive on pharma food, which is why we have her on the show. And welcome back.
Hi, good to be here.
So basically when Catherine came to you and you started getting into this conversation, I'm kind of curious how it is that she asked you to deep dive. Why you? What were you doing at the time that got her attention?
Well, I am writing for an independent Dutch newspaper. It's 100% reader funded. It's a printed paper. And Catherine has a lot of contacts in the Dutch free media. And so I met her a couple of times already. And I did a small article about lab-grown meat, but I discovered so much that did not add up. For example, I realized that this was a very high-tech technology, and I thought it's very difficult to get the capital to put up the production process and to be able to produce this. But why would you invest so much and then produce a product with the margins of a hamburger? And I realized that they were using biopharmaceutical processes. And so there were all these questions, and I realized I cannot fit this into one article. So I sent all my questions to her, and I thought, perhaps this is something you're interested in because you want to look into this. And she responded, she said, do you want to do a deep dive research? And I thought, yes, that's great. I would like to do that. So it turned into a 50-page report. It's really a very long report, and it looks into the technology itself, but also, where this is coming from, the policies that are pushing this. There's really a transhumanist philosophy behind this, and I think it's important that we learn more about this, because whenever I run into this, I just feel that it's so abnormal and insane that you just think, I don't want to think about this. But really, the people in power, this is their religion. It's not just a philosophy. This is what they are driven by, and it's also going into all these technocratic developments. So I think this is something we really need to learn more about.
This is some pretty scary stuff, actually, because we had heard all sorts of reports, Elsa, that they were going to start contaminating our food with mRNA, with graphene oxide. They were going to contaminate our water. They were going to get it into us. If we didn't want to take the jab, they were going to get it into us one way or another. And this is one of those ways that we've been hearing about. And fake meat. I mean, obviously, they're not going to put this in they're always in the frozen section of the grocery store. I have seen some of it. And when you look at this, and it doesn't necessarily put all the stuff on the label, which is even scarier. It doesn't just say on the label on the box, when you open the box, fake meat. I mean, they're hiding all this stuff, are they not?
Yes, there's really not a lot of transparency, but I think the track record of what there is, it's already pretty alarming. For example, there's the Impossible Burger, and there's another type of this burger, but it's made through very heavily manipulated soy, and when they fed it to the rats got sick. But despite this, it's still allowed on the market, but it's very unhealthy to eat this stuff, and perhaps there are secret ingredients in there. Well, not just secret ingredients. So they manipulate these bacteria, and these bacteria start producing this genetically manipulated soy, but there are all these byproducts, kind of proteins, but they have not been characterized, and this is not filtered out of the end product. So you're eating, like, first of all, a GMO product that has never been in the food supply before, but also a number of substances that we don't even know what it is. So that's not on the label.
Well, it makes you wonder whether or not, people who eat this stuff all of a sudden now can't reproduce. It makes you wonder whether this is really what their end goal is population reduction by other means, other than just coming out and saying, hey, we're going to give you the clot shot. And, after you take two or three or four, I mean, even Anthony Fauci, who I know you know who he is, he's out there pontificating now. Still, he's out of office, and he's still pontificating that everybody needs to get a booster every year, like it's a flu shot. And I'm like, dude, you are really, you live up to your name, Dr. Anthony Mengele. You are a twisted psychopath, and you need to be eliminated. I'm sorry, sir, but, your day is coming. You can sit there and play denial games and say that, when you attack science, you attack science. The bigger problem is that a large number of people have bought into this, and when they see plant-based, all these vegans are like running at it and going, oh, this is wonderful stuff, let's eat this. And I'm like, you're killing yourselves, folks. I mean, did you say, Elsa, we're talking about E. coli bacteria?
Yes, because they are genetically manipulating E. coli bacteria, and they're inserting foreign genes into E. coli bacteria and then culturing them or fermenting them and then harvesting the products that they produce.
Wow. Folks, once again, if you've got questions, now's the time. Pick up the phone, 844-769-2944, because we're talking about technological process and progress that's being used to manipulate our environment, manipulate the population. I mean, it is literally a biomedical tyranny type of a state that they're trying to invoke right now. And every time you go to the store, you know, if you're not buying healthy, if you're buying junk food and you're buying ultra-processed foods, it's highly likely that this garbage is in them. Andy in Texas, you're on the show with Elza Van Hamlin. Go ahead.
Well, hey, I appreciate this conversation. So what do you guys know about the vertical farms that Bill Gates is putting together? He bought up all this farmland, and now he's putting these vertical farms up, which are, you know, just huge grow rooms, so to speak, that rotate, and you know, yeah. But he specifically said that they were going to put spike protein into the food, and the recipients of this food was going to be Kroger's and Walmart. And so,
wow.
What do you think of that?
So, with regard to vertical farms, it is referenced. It's part of food tech. It's referenced in this report. But I would like to refer you to the website Corey's Digs from the investigative journalist Corey Lynn, and she wrote a long article about vertical farms. And there's one, I believe, it's called Bowery Farms. It's in Texas, and it's an enormous farm, and it can feed like, I don't know, like the whole big city can be fed just by the food that's produced in these farms. But if you look at the websites of these vertical farms, they all are looking at how to apply these gene editing techniques, which they call new breeding techniques. But you should not be confused. This is GMO, and basically, it brings food production indoors, and they require a lot of energy. So a couple of them in Europe have gone bankrupt because of the energy prices. But what you see is that with precision fermentation, with insects, with the vertical farms, is that food production is moving to factories. It's moving from fields to factories. And that's very dangerous because you see that there's a multi-pronged attack on our food systems with all these plants going up in fires, and there's much more going on. And the war on farmers, like, for example, in the Netherlands, that they have to move from their land. And simultaneously, they're creating all this fake synthetic food in factory conditions. So what will happen if they get their way and we don't take care of our own food independence is that there will be food shortages, and then at some point they say, well, if you want to have your food, you have to sign up for a CBDC or a digital identity, and you need to get your shots, and otherwise you won't get your food. So I think it's a very dangerous move. We already have a very highly controlled food system, but this makes it even more centralized and controlled. And these vertical farms are a key part of this.
Well, and can you speak a little bit about how they're getting the spiked protein in there? I mean, what could they possibly do to our food to get a spiked protein to grow in it?
So this is called molecular farming. So in this report for called Pharma Food on the Solaria report, I say there's a transhumanist toolbox, because I used to think it's just GMOs, but they have all these different types of GMO techniques. And one of the GMO techniques is called molecular farming, and they insert, they manipulate plants so that they start producing animal proteins. So it's a type of genetic manipulation through which plants or sometimes insects or otherwise microbes start producing stuff that they're not supposed to produce. And a spike protein, well, it's a protein. So they code for the protein and then they manipulate the plant so it started producing these proteins. And this is one project, I believe it's the University of California, that is trying to grow lettuce that produces vaccines. And it's like $500,000.
I really love people that have knowledge, and thank you so much. You all have a great day.
Appreciate it, Andy. Thanks. Yeah, we appreciate that. We have a farmer in Indiana that calls our show every so often, and this woman is so down to earth and does her homework, Elsa. I'm so glad, Darlene, that you called this morning. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to have her address because Cinemix has now moved from La Jolla, California to somewhere over in Europe, that company that makes paste and like salt, sugar, and all this stuff that you can't compete with real stuff. And now it's over in Europe somewhere, and if she addresses that in her report. And that's really the only question I had. And okay. The food, I'm going to make one more comment.
Go ahead.
The GMO food alone has destroyed our people's health. It's just not, you know. This stuff is going to make it even worse, I'm afraid. Have a good day.
I agree. Thank you, Darlene. You too. I mean, they come right out of the gate at us, don't they, Elsa?
Yes. So I didn't hear the name of the corporation that she... So there's a corporation that moved from the U.S. to Europe?
Apparently
and
so.
And if that's in the report...
Am I still on, Dave?
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
It's Cinemex, it's called. And it's made
Cinemex.
Taste and flavoring made out of baby parts.
And it has now been
bought out and bought and sold over in Europe somewhere it is. And I don't recall where that was.
No, that's not in the report.
Okay, good enough. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Arlene. Okay, I mean, this is some pretty crazy stuff, you know, produced out of baby parts. Now, we had heard that this was going on. It's like you cannot trust processed food anymore. And what's really sad is we all have to start looking at our long-term shelf life foods to make sure, you know, how are they bioengineered? Because a lot of these are. I have seen them. I've seen the labels. And when it says bioengineered, I'm scratching my head going, okay, now what is in this? This is artificial and it's designed to have a 25-year shelf life. And a lot of this is not making sense. You know, when I hear it and it's like, you know, Heaven's Harvest, it's, you know, is our 25-year shelf life food supplier. Some of these shelf lives are less. If they're putting this stuff in like MREs, in meals ready to eat for the military. I mean, I know we haven't gotten that deep dive into this to find out whether or not they're poisoning our own troops. Is that a possibility, Elsa?
Well, in general, these hyper-processed foods are just very, very unhealthy. And the longer the shelf life, basically the unhealthier this is. And they forced the troops to take the mRNA vaccine. So it's interesting that you mentioned like Catherine Austin Fitz's work and poisoning, because she says this is all part of what she calls the great poisoning. So to her, like also looking at the vaccination campaign of the last couple of years, she says, I see it as a very much longer trend of poisoning that has been going on that is kind of like increasing now with the injection campaign, but with what is happening to our food. But it's not completely new. It's been happening for a long time. As Darlene mentioned, like GMOs have been poisoning people for a long time, and this research is being actively repressed.
Right. And see, now we also have included in our email blast, for those of you who are getting email blast, we have a video out now from Jessica Sutta. She was interviewed by Jan Jakielik from Epoch Times about her Moderna vaccine injury. Now, if you've ever heard the group, the Pussycat Dolls, they are a group of dancers, five women who get out and do these, you know, sexual gyrations and talk about, you know, various societal type things. Well, she went out and got the Moderna jabs, and all of a sudden she's got twitching and she's been poisoned. And she's one of these people that all of a sudden woke up and said, oh, my God, what happened to me? And she went to several doctors. They all said she had a kidney infection, threw antibiotics at it, which is what Big Pharma does. And then she's finding out from the neurologist, did you take the shot? When did you take the shot? And I'm afraid. And she took two of them because she showed us her vaccine card. And now she's negatively affected, adversely affected by these things. This is all part of the poisoning, folks, that is really bugging me. And they said that they were going to put this stuff in our food. They were in our face about it. Did you discover the interface kind of mechanism, Elsa, when you were doing your research?
No, but I ask a big question, because if you look at the whole economic profile of lab-grown meat, then it just doesn't make any economic sense, and people don't want to eat this. So then it begs the question, is why would you put so much money on this if it's a product that people don't want, and you're not going to make a lot of money on it? So that I explore multiple avenues in looking at, like, why would they invest in this, but one of them is... like, could this be a delivery method, as you say, for pharmaceuticals, for the great poisoning? And so there is research into edible vaccines. So that is not such a crazy idea, especially if you take into account that they're using biopharma methods to produce this food.
Now, your deep dive into all of this, did you actually, and this is something that people I know are on the tip of your tongue, and if it hadn't been there, it should be, have you visited the grocery stores to actually look at what's on the shelves to see how fake meat and all of these plant-based, genetically modified food products, did you actually go to the grocery stores to actually look at the stuff on the shelves to see how much it's permeated our grocery chains?
I have to make a distinction here. So there are the plant-based burgers. These have been on the market for a long time. Then there is the Impossible Burger, which is kind of new. And then there's lab-grown meat. And how they produce this is using cell lines that are usually used for producing vaccines. And they culture cells, and then you have a kind of cell slurry, and they process this, and they turn it into a meat product. But this is a very difficult technological process. And even though billions have been invested in this, so cell cultured meat, only one company is currently selling it. It has approval to sell it in Singapore. So that's interesting too. Billions have been invested, and all these companies they're not just not making any money, they're not selling anything.
Wow. Well, see, I understand too that there has been pushback on this. Have you seen that?
Yes, there's a lot of pushback. So basically, consumers are not interested in eating this. And depending on how they formulate it in the survey, like if they say, oh, do you want to eat a clean, slaughter-free meat? And the people will respond, yes, that will be nice. But if you see, do you want to eat a cell-cultured biopharmaceutical concoction, then most people are not excited about eating this. And in general, like, if people are hesitant about eating novel foods, and novel foods are defined as foods that were not recognized as foods before 1997, so these include nanomaterials, insects, the lab-grown meat, the precision fermented fake milk. Most people, they don't want to eat this, and in the scientific literature, they labeled this as neophobic. So they are afraid of novel foods, and they tie this to political opinions.
Oh, this is like demonization of people that won't eat their food. Gee, what a novel idea, folks. Yeah. Have you heard this before? We have talked about demonization. This is one of the aspects they used to go after people that refused to take the jab and call them anti-vaxxers and call them domestic terrorists, and you're going to murder your grandma. And they came up with all sorts of excuses. This is what their focus groups all said. This is the most effective way to turn Americans against each other. In fact, I think it happened all over the world. They turned everybody against each other. Then we had distrust of our fellow man. But if you didn't take the jab, then you were, and now you're finding out the people who took the jabs are actually the ones that are spreading it. And they're the ones that are getting the disease. And now they're starting to demonize people for not wanting to eat their fake meat. Oh, this is a real problem. Just remember this, folks, because this is what's going to happen in the future, because you know they're going to come out with this and they're going to start a campaign saying that if you don't eat this fake meat and you don't eat this food, then you're un-American. I mean, this is going to start. Trust me, it's in the cards. Do you think so, Elsa?
Well, that's already happening. So, yes.
Oh, how so? How so? Give me one example. Well, anybody that's come out with a thing, a product that's demonized other people for not doing it, chastising people for not eating it?
Well, I think the fake meats are a very clear example.
Well, see, this is a bigger problem we have, folks. you know, and here's the thing. They're going to get to the young people. It's all going to happen that way. It'll happen that way because this is the way this whole thing has been designed. And it's all part of our cancel culture that's going on right now. We have so much stuff to talk about that we didn't get to on our show today. Here's just an example of how they're getting to your kids. A high school in Oregon has retracted an assignment that asked students to write a story describing a sexual fantasy. That's right. Parents found out about it. Churchill High School in Eugene, Oregon, their kids were asked to write a fantasy story that included a sex fantasy. This is how they're going to get to you. This is how they're going to get to your kids. And they're going to make it sound wonderful, because what do our kids like to eat? Junk food. And that's all part of the culture that's going on right now to poison our kids. Elsa Van Hamlen, I really appreciate you being on the show. This has been some real eye-openers. And we appreciate you, and we'll have to have you back on as these things unfold. And God bless you for the work you did.
Thank you for inviting me. Very nice to be here.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening, tuning in, positing your questions. We appreciate your concern. Hey, this is all part of America waking up, folks. Speaking of which, God bless you. God bless the United States of America. Happy St. Patrick's Day for those of you. And hopefully I'm not eating corned beef that's been manipulated. Oh, God, can you imagine that genetically engineered corned beef? By the way, that stuff didn't start in Ireland. It started over here in the Americas. Hopefully you will have yourself a blessed weekend. In the meantime, we'll be back on Monday with a Power Hour. Take care. Have a safe weekend.
Hi, this is Jay at the Paramall here to tell you about a North American urban spice product called Chaga Max. This product is considered SOD, or superoxide dismutase. This is an enzyme found in all living cells. SOD helps break down potentially harmful oxygen molecules in cells. Chaga Max is fortified with the powers of wild oregano and wild birch bark. Get your Chaga Max by calling 877-817-9829 or go to theparamall.com. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the OregaResp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.